title of my message this morning is Broken and Bruised. I would like to pray. Being the preacher, you always want to connect God's message with people. You know what I mean? I mean, if you just hear me this morning, it won't be near as effective. But if you get from God what God wants you to get from him this morning, that's the purpose for church. Amen. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves again. We thank you, Lord, for our service men and women who have served, and many of them gave their lives so that we could have this freedom. And there are those who have been broken and those who have been bruised for our freedom. I thank you, Lord, for everybody in our nation today and in the world. And I thank you, Lord, for Derek and his missions work in Africa. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving in the hearts of men and women because of this man and his family's sacrifice for you. Just bless him, I pray. Help us as a church to be a blessing to him. I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here, everybody that's watching online this morning. We know that you have a plan, and that your plan is for us for our lights to shine bright, and for those who are bruised to find healing at the foot of the cross. So we thank you, Lord, that you've provided for us your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that as your vessel, oh God, that we are honored to be able to speak your word and the truth that you put in us for such a time as this. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems like whenever we get bruised, if somebody touches your bruise, it's like it just hurts more because you're already hurting. And then if you break something, it's like really sore, and it takes a long time to heal up. Scripture says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. He got chastised so we could have peace, because we're the ones that deserved to be chastised, because we're the ones that sinned. He never sinned. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And then it says, by his stripes or by his wounds, we are healed. Many of our servicemen and women, they've come back from war and lost limbs on their bodies and on the outside have been very broken and very bruised. But I would submit to you, from talking to a lot of our friends, that the bruising and the brokenness on the inside is bigger than whatever's going on the outside. I think America today is bruised. I think America today is broken. And I think America needs a savior. We have been in this last year. I don't know if there's anybody here that's just been a great year for you. 2020 is like, I'd like to do this again. I don't think so. Not for me. I'm not really wanting to repeat 2020. Maybe you are. Maybe it's been really good for you, but you're in the minority, I would say. I would say as well that the COVID has been very impactful on the illness, and lives have been lost through this. But I would say that the impact on people's lives generally with the fear in America today has been even greater than the actual sickness. I believe that there's fear in people's hearts and people's lives, and God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what our world needs today. We need. We need God's power. We need God's love. Because perfect love casts out all fear. God, help us. Help the broken. Help the bruised. In Matthew chapter 12, it's an interesting scripture. You remember last week, if you weren't here, let me just recap just a second. We talked about in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, they had the lamps, and in the lamps, the lamps had wicks on the lamps, and the oil would come up to the wick, and the oil represents the Holy Spirit. You with me? So the Holy Spirit would saturate or immerse the wick. We're the wicks. Everybody say, I'm a wick.
I'm a wick.
It sounds fun, kind of funny, but just stay with me. Don't leave me yet. The Bible says that we're to be baptized to be filled with the Spirit. Symbolically, we are the wick. The Holy Spirit fills us up. And then every morning, the priest would trim the wick. You remember that, right? He would trim the wick every morning and every night. He'd snuff out the lamp and trim the wick. Snuff out the lamp at night, trim the wick. Snuff it out, trim the wick. Every day, twice a day. Because everybody needs to be, everybody needs a trim. So this morning in Matthew 12, says Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him. Verse 15, I'm sorry. Chapter Matthew 12, 15. Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him and healed all who were ill. Ah, sweet. What a great story. Jesus healed. Hey, by the way, we still believe in healing around here. Those people that say, they say that healing was for back in Jesus' day, they need to talk to this guy. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Raise your hand if Jesus has healed you or something. My name is Randy Wheat. Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah.
Everybody say he's alive. By his wounds we were healed, the bruised. Ah, sweet. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. The reason was is because his time had not come yet. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. This is back in the book of Isaiah. And then he repeats what was written in Isaiah. Verse 18, here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. Talking about Jesus. I will put my spirit in him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. Listen to this. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick. If you're smoldering, stay with me. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through victory. In his name, the nations, in his name, the nations will put their hope. In the cross, there's provision. There is rapture, but there's also the judgment seat of Christ. There is justice. But Jesus said, I didn't come, if you're bruised, I didn't come to finish off the breaking part. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said that bruised reed I will not break, and a smoldering wick I will not snuff out. So, if we are the wick, and the Holy Spirit is the oil, And Jesus said that we are now priests of our home, that we are anointed priests. Some of y'all got to get this in you. That we are priests, that we can, and the reason that we're priests is because we can now go into the presence of God. We can go into the holies of holies where the presence of God resides because the veil is torn too. I preached about this forever, but I'm going to keep preaching about it forever because we got to get it in us that we can go into the presence of God, and it's a privilege for people to go into the presence of God because we are priests. No longer do we have to sacrifice animals because the animals were an imperfect sacrifice. Then Jesus came, the one who knew no sin, became sin so we could have our sins forgiven. But he was the perfect sacrifice. Now he sits at the throne next to the Father and he makes intercession for those who are willing to keep their wicks trimmed. And you might be smoldering this morning. You might just have a little bit going and you might be bruised a little bit and you might even be broken. There might be some stuff inside of you that is really, really hurting. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants you to let your light shine, for you to be ignited with the fire of the Holy Spirit so you can shine bright. Whose job is it? Whose job is it to fix the fire? Your mama can't fix your fire. Your daddy can't fix your fire. Your brother, your sister, your granny, she can't fix the fire. It's your job to get the wick trimmed and to invite the Holy Spirit to consume you and to be immersed in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Today we are, oh my goodness, I don't even know if I'm going to go. I just want to talk to you. In our world today, we have come through a difficult week. Amen. In our nation today. And if we're not careful, we'll want to dogpile. Anybody who knows what that is? Any kids here? You know what dogpile is? It's when somebody jumps on somebody, everybody jumps on somebody else, then the one down on the bottom. Anybody ever been dogpiled on? Yeah. It's not fun because the one on the bottom can't breathe. Texans wouldn't have that problem because they can't get there soon enough. In case I stopped being a fan this year for a minute. If you're a fan, I love you. Don't dogpile on me. So what happens is that we have people who are flaunting their win. In the election, we have people who are ticked off over the election, and the emotions are running rampant in our world today. We as the church, let me just give us a little course correction here. We as the church cannot get caught up in the emotion of our nation. We are called to love those who are bruised. Those who are broken, those who are hurting, no matter who they are, whether they're our military, whether they're our policemen, or whether they're that protester that throws things through the windows and messes up everybody's stuff, that person is valuable to God. I get a whole lot more amens when I'm talking about something you want to hear. Because here's the deal. Jesus loved you. Yeah. When you were messing things up that belonged to somebody else. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. God has not given us. See, he wants us to wake up to his love. I've been convicted this week. I'm going to tell you, I promise, I've been convicted. I don't know if I love people the way God loves them. Because I kind of get irritated at people. I'm like, You know that person that at work that you just don't really like them because they're not like you? They're just different. You know, they're different. They're valuable to God. We've got to learn, my friends, as born again, spirit-filled believers, we've got to understand that God's love is for everybody, no matter how stupid they get. God still loves them. Because when we were stupid, God put his love and he put his arms around us. When I didn't deserve to be loved, one time I asked God, how come you're so good to me? How come I have your favor? How come you've been so good to me? And honestly, I wasn't doing very good at the time. I wasn't pleasing God. I'm just talking to you this morning. I hope this is okay, because if it's not, it's too bad. Because we've all been bruised. We've all been broken. We've all had our hearts broken. And I asked God, I said, how come you're blessing me? He said, Randy, I'm looking at your heart. I'm not looking at them stupid things you're doing. Because I know your heart doesn't need to be there. And he said, your smoldering wick, I will not snuff out. Because I see someday there's going to be a light. Someday you're going to fall in love with me. Someday you're going to love me enough not to want to do those things. And when that time comes, then you're going to see me in a greater picture, in a greater light. And your light will shine brighter because my light shines through you. And you are filled and immersed with the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome those things in your life that continually bruise you, continually break you. Anybody ever had your heart broke? Raise your hand if you've had your heart broke. Gracious, who has not had their heart broke? I'm going to tell you something I don't think I ever told you before. When I was a young man, I was engaged to be married to a girl that was, this was before Darla, obviously. Oh, by the way, she shot her big buck this morning. That's why she's not here. Men's ministry had to go help her gut the deer because I had to come preach. What a deer. What a deer, yeah. Anyway, this engagement to the, I was engaged to be married to this girl, and we broke off the engagement 3 days before the wedding. I mean, like 3 days. Like, you talk about a heartbreaker. And it was kind of a general consensus among the two of us. Because at that point in time, we didn't really like each other at all. Neither one of us liked each other. And so it's like, hey, we got to cut this out. It's over. But it hurt like a big dog. It really hurt. So when you get to hurting, what happens is, the devil piles on you, and he dog piles. And then the people, y'all stay with me, the people that didn't like you anyway pile on. Then they get on Facebook and pile on some more. God forbid any of us would ever pile on. I said, God forbid any of us would pile on. I mean, like, we're born again, spirit-filled Christians. I got my pickup, and I didn't know where to go. I mean, I thought my life was over. You know how the devil lies to you. Anybody ever had your heart broke so bad you thought your life was over? Well, there's 15 of us. And I remember driving down the road, and I was like, I could just drive this truck. I was up in Colorado. Colorado River was there. I said, I could just drive that truck right off the road, right in that Colorado River, and nobody even know the difference, and nobody even care. Then I remember I didn't know how to swim, and I thought, I'm not going to do that. But what I did, I was a grown man, but I went home, went to my mom and dad's. Because I was like, I didn't know what else to do. You know, the best thing you can do whenever you don't know what to do is go to the Father. Yes. He loves you with a love that you'll never really ever understand. The more you know God, the more you'll realize you don't know Him really that well. Because behold, what manner of love is it that God, not that we love God, but that God loves us. That's love, that God loves us. And so whenever we have God's love in us and we have His care, then we begin to look at the orphans in Africa differently. We look at the broken families, the divorced lady that has children and are hurting, you fill in the blank. The people that are hurting you, we look at them differently, and we begin to care for them because Jesus cares for them. And really, isn't that the job of the church? We have a little deal called Cowboys for Kids, and then we have Hope and Healing for Warriors. We have men's ministry, women's ministry. We got arena ministry, and then we do all these things. Friend, believe me, trust me, we do these things to help people get to heaven. We do these things to find community and find relationship. We have life groups for people so that they can come into a small group and get to know each other, and that they can have eternal hope. Jesus didn't come to snuff out your wick. If you're having problems, don't blame God for your problems. Please don't blame Him for your problems. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. My challenge to you this morning, and I'm going to wrap this up, but my challenge to you this morning, and I pray this morning, that God would show us that He is not here to snuff out the wick or to break the reed. You know, we're going to have, what are we going to have? The Christmas concert. What do we call that? Big band Christmas. And the big band, I mean, who would think you'd do that at Cowboy Church? But we love the band members. But in those instruments, they have a reed in their mouth that makes music. They got broke off from the big reed. Yeah. And it makes music. And they say that the artificial, I don't know nothing about it, but they say that the artificial reeds don't make as sweet a sound as the real reeds. You can go through the motions this morning, and you can be kind of artificial, and everybody can look at you, and they can even think, man, he's got it all together. She is something else, isn't she? But it's kind of like the COVID. What's going on the inside isn't what's happening on the outside. You might be smoldering on the inside. And you might think, everybody else might think you're doing good. But I'm telling you right now, God wants you to do good. Yeah. He wants you to heal up and for you to have to be ignited with the fire that comes from being immersed or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for you. Lord, lift your people up to you. Thank you for your word this morning. We pray, oh God, that your heart has happened this morning, Lord. I pray that you just love your people. Love on your people. Help us see our nation and our president, whoever it is. Help them, Lord. Help them, I pray. Pray, oh God, you just help our nation to heal and help us to love people, whether we agree with them or don't agree with them. That's not the deal. It's that they have value. No matter what they believe, they have value. Help us, Lord, to show that value for everybody. I'd love for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for Him. The scripture is true when it says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. I've sinned. Everybody has. But He said if we would confess our sin, He would be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for Him, simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make Him the Lord of my life. I need Jesus in my heart." Raise your hand up high. Anybody? "Preacher, that's me. Right here. Up in the front here. Thank you." Anybody else? We won't put a Bible in your hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody else? Did you want to accept Jesus in your heart? Did you want to accept Jesus in your heart this morning?
Yes, sir.
Come on up here. Let me help you. Anybody else? You want to ask Jesus come in your heart? Come on up. We want to pray with you. I'm proud of you, buddy. Let's just pray and just believe in your heart, and God will do the rest. Y'all help us pray. Just repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Don't look bad, buddy. Don't look bad. I love you, too. Do me a favor. Go visit this guy over here for just a second. Thank you. Okay. Whole fire here. Just said we're going to do kind of like what we did last week. We did things a little different. We're going to sing this song, but if you need special prayer, we're going to sing one more song, then we're going to dismiss. By the way, it's not even 11 o'clock yet, so don't be getting no hurry to leave yet. But let's spend a little bit more time in worship. If you will, and if stand with me, please. And if you'd like to come down, and we have our prayer team up here, our prayer team's assembling. And if you need special prayer for anything in your life, healing, deliverance, maybe your heart's just hurting this morning, and you need the peace of God in you. You need somebody to help you pray for whatever reason. Y'all with me? We invite you to come up on the first word, and let's sing this song as an act of worship this morning, Mr. Jesse.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It's
Thank you, Lord. We do love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our service this morning as we walk out of these doors. Lord, we take you with us, Lord, as priests of the Most High God. Lord, help us. I pray that you'd help us to just bless those who need help in our communities, oh God. Help people to find you as their personal Savior. I pray, oh God, that we would prioritize eternity and eternal things in our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our souls. May we be faithful to you. Bless your church, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We love y'all. God bless you. You have a great week.